Well, a little pop quiz here for you this morning. When we sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo, what are you saying? Do you know what you're saying when you sing that? Surely somebody knows. Yeah?
I've got a guess.
Fire away.
Glory in a lot to God.
Glory in a lot to God. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest, glory to the farthest stretches, that's right, to God. Now, do you know what language that is? Latin, yes, that's right. As a kid, I always thought that was so cool to be singing, in English, and then all of a sudden you break out into another language in the middle of this Christmas carol. I remember sitting in the back of Turin Church, thinking, oh man, I'm so grown up, I'm singing in Latin. it turns out, I discovered last year, that Latin is not the only language that we need to talk about when we talk about angels we have heard on high. Because angels we have heard on high is actually a loose translation of a French Christmas carol that came earlier called Les Anges dans nos campagnes. A lot of the carols that we sing are written originally in English. So, Joy to the World, O Come, O Come. No, that's not right. O Little Town of Bethlehem, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus. Those are all written in English. But there are a handful of carols that we sing that started in different languages. When I said, O Come All Ye Faithful, I had to stop because that was Este Fideles, right? That's another Latin one. This one, though, Angels We Have Heard on High, began in French. And since I do have a French degree and spent a summer in France, I thought, man, I got to read this. And when I read it, I thought, this is so interesting because it emphasizes something a little different than what our English Angels We Have Heard on High says. So what I want to do with you here this morning is to look at this original French carol to see really two things. One, to give us a greater appreciation for the song that we sing and we know as Angels We Have Heard on High. And two, to give us a sense of what this other original version says that is a little different, I think, than what the original than what we know says. So what I've done for you here today is given you a couple of pages worth of handouts. I've given you the original French, just in case you want to look at the French and see what it says there. Then I've given you my literal translation of it, but you can't sing that. So I've given you a versified version on the next page, which is my attempt to put it into verse so that we can sing. And then you can see our Angels We Have Heard on High there, so that you can kind of compare what the original is compared to what we have now. And as you can see, Angels We Have Heard on High is only 3/5 of that original song. So let's look at what this original one has to say, what it tells us about Jesus' birth, because I think it gives us a neat, different angle to think about the birth of Jesus. Before we do that, though, I do want to read to you a passage of Scripture, the passage of Scripture that lies behind both of these songs. And it's a passage that I'm sure we have heard many times before. That's Luke 2, verses 8 through 16. Luke 2, verses 8 through 16, I'll be referring back to it through the sermon here. So if you want to kind of have it open on your lap as well. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. I want you to imagine that you were there on the outskirts of Bethlehem the night that Jesus was born. If you had lived there that night, could you see the glory of God filling the sky? Could you have heard this angel choir singing glory to God without end? I don't know for sure, but our carol certainly thinks so, Les Anges dans nos campagnes. This song puts us on the outskirts of Bethlehem that first Christmas Eve and says, yes, it imagines that we are there that very first Christmas, that we can hear the angels. And so the song imagines us saying, what is it that is prompting these angels to sing? Here's what it says. I will only read one verse in French. Les anges dans nos campagnes ont étonné l'hymne des cieux. The angels in our countryside have sung the hymn of heaven. The carol imagines that we're there, that we are looking over the plains of Bethlehem and hearing the angels' chorus. You know, our angels we have heard on high puts it well, right? Angels we have heard on high. And there's a neat little nuance in the French there that says, les anges dans nos campagnes, that in our countryside. Imagine that. That in our countrysides, out on our plains, in our fields, there are angels singing. And what are they singing? Well, they're singing the hymn of heaven, the song that the angels sang from the beginning of eternity, glory to God in the highest. And the angels aren't the only ones, it turns out, who are singing. The creation joins in to sing. Right? L'écho des montagnes redit ce chant mélodieux. The mountains are singing back. All of creation, the hills and the countryside, echoing back what they are singing. Now, if you were there that first Christmas Eve and you heard the angels singing and all of creation singing back, what's the first question that's going to come to your mind? Why? Why is all of creation shouting these songs of praise to the Lord? And that's what verse 2 is. The song takes us to the very first people on the scene, right, the shepherds, so that we can ask, what on earth and heaven, as it were, is going on here? Why is it that the angels are singing and the countryside is resounding with their songs? Well, verse 2. Shepherds, for whom is this celebration? Or shepherds, who is it that you are celebrating? Who is the object or recipient of these songs? What conqueror or what conquest deserves such shouts of praise? This, I think, is where the French version catches something that our English one misses. Right, we sing, shepherds, why this jubilee, why the gladsome song, why the joyous strains prolong, what the gladsome tidings be that inspire your heavenly song. That's a fine translation. You can see the original peeking through there. But it misses something, I think, that would have been obvious to people in the first century, to the shepherds for sure. If there is a celebration as grand and as glorious as this, then it means that a conqueror has just returned from battle. Right? You don't pull out all the stops like this unless the king or a great general on the king's behalf has quashed his enemies, and is coming back in triumph to now enjoy the glory and adulation of their people. This kind of triumphant praise, our immediate thought is, must mean that there is a conqueror who has come. Who is it? And what have they done to deserve praise like this? It's a profound question, especially given that the answer is not what you would expect. Verse 3, the shepherds say, they announce the birth of the liberator of Israel. And they sing with gratitude this solemn day. On first glance, it looks as though the first assumption is right. Right? The liberator has come. These celebrations announce the birth of the liberator of Israel. Okay, well, that means that some glorious Messiah has come to trample over the enemies of Israel and set them free. That's what you might think if you take the French libérateur and pull it into English as liberator. But there's a little nuance in that French word that's very important. Because libérateur doesn't just mean liberator, it means deliverer, redeemer. It can have a salvation-oriented aspect to it. And so what's being said here means that this libérateur does not libérate his people in the way that a worldly liberator might. You know, it jumped out to me when I read that passage in Luke 2 this year in a way that hasn't, you know, smacked me before. There's a huge oxymoron in the middle of that reading. Because look at verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. If we skip over that born part, and if we hear this the way that the shepherds would have heard it the first night, this is an incredible statement. There is a Savior who will sit on King David's eternal throne, who has come to be the Messiah, the Liberator, the Lord. This is like announcing that King Arthur, Barack Obama, Nelson Mandela, Arnold Schwarzenegger in a 1980s movie, all rolled up in one person, has come to set his people free. Like, just think about the hope that that would inspire and call to mind. And yet, verse 12 says, here's the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I wonder if the shepherds heard that and then they said, okay, well, here's the sign. There's going to be a baby wrapped up in some cloths, and then we'll go next door and then we'll find the liberator. And the shepherds go, no, dummy, the baby is the liberator. About 100 years ago, the head of a Russian Orthodox church put it like this. He comes not as a fierce man of war, threatening all things with death, but as a newly born babe, bringing the hope of rebirth and life into the entire realm of death. This newborn liberator is not the kind of liberator that the world produces. He's humble. He is vulnerable. You would think that a baby born to be a savior would be born under more auspicious circumstances, but no, he's a nobody with no place to lay his head in a little manger where people feed their livestock. And yet, the liberation that he accomplishes is greater than any victory a worldly conqueror could accomplish. He is going to deliver his people from the power of death and give them life in his eternal kingdom. The deliverer has come. That's the case, well, then he deserves our highest praise. Glory in the highest, indeed. A great deliverer deserves great praise. And that's where verse 4 comes in. Shepherds who are far from your homes, join in with the chorus, and may the sound of your dear musettes ring out through the air. This carol now has us say, well, listen, if that's the case, if this glorious Messiah is truly here, then what are you doing standing there, shepherds? Join in with the chorus that the angels and the mountains and all of creation are singing back. And here, we get a little, a neat little taste of local flavor. Do you know what a musette is? A musette is a, it's like a French folk bagpipe. It has a little keyboard, like an accordion, but you pump air through it. So it's essentially a little bagpipe. And the song says, "Let the sound of your tender musettes fill the air with song." I have to be honest, I can't imagine a bagpipe being tender. I also can't imagine a bagpipe at Jesus' manger. But hey, you know what? This is a neat way of saying, whatever you are good at, whatever your culture, your folk culture values as impressive and important, bring it to praise the Lord. And that's essentially where verse 5 goes. It says, "Let us look for this fortunate village who has seen him born beneath her roofs. Let us give to him our tender praises and our hearts and our voices." Our verse 3 of "Angels We Have Heard on High" is actually a pretty good translation of that, right? A literal translation. "Come to Bethlehem, see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn king." That's good. I think the French, though, has a further nuance that's important. The song looks at this situation, the circumstances of Jesus' birth, and says, "Let us go to worship him." And not just with our bodies, not just on bended knee, but with all our hearts and with all our voices, which is to say, with all that we are. Because even within the Christmas story itself, we know that it's possible to worship Jesus and yet not truly honor him. Right? Think about King Herod. He says, "I would like to go worship on bended knee," and yet in his heart, what he wants to do more than anything is to get rid of this baby. And so this carol says, look at, honor him with your lips and with your lives. Honor him with your hearts and your voices, with all that you are. And this, I think, is where this French version of the song is very helpful. If I asked you to tell me, what's the message of "Angels We Have Heard on High," what would you say? Like, if a person stopped me on the street and said, "Can you tell me what 'Angels We Have Heard on High' is about?" I would probably say, "Angels We Have Heard on High." The message of the song is that we have heard angels singing. The French version, though, and the message that I want you to take away today is this. The lowborn king deserves the highest praise. The lowborn king deserves the highest praise. Think about when William and Kate's firstborn was born, right? Prince George. There was this formal procedure by which they brought the royal easel out and set it in front of the palace and announced to the world, the newborn king has been born. Before you knew it, the news had spread around the world through the internet. The front page of every newspaper had the news on it. You could buy commemorative china to remember the birth of the newborn king. Now, compare that to Jesus, born in a little wooden box with cow drool all over it. This is the Son of God come to earth, swaddled in rags. You don't get much more lowborn than that. And yet this lowborn king deserves the highest praise. You know, I don't know what Prince George will accomplish in his lifetime, but I am pretty sure that he will not die to conquer the power of death and hell. And yet Jesus did. Jesus deserves our highest praise, praise that stretches to the heavens in the highest, but that is rooted truly in our hearts. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's something really neat in this song, in the way that it's written. It's a chiasm. It's symmetrical. It's kind of like a sandwich with two pieces of bread, two pieces of cheese, and meat right in the middle. Okay, look at it. Verse 1, what happens? We hear the angels sing. Verse 2, we ask the shepherds, well, why? Verse 3, the Redeemer is born. Verse 4, well, then shepherds join in the song. Verse 5, well, then let us worship too. Us, shepherds, the news, shepherds, us. When somebody writes a symmetry like this, it doesn't happen by accident. When somebody writes it like this, it means that they are setting out the central idea as the literal central idea, so that you see what's most important here. The Savior has born, this baby born under humble circumstances, not of conquest, but of rags and straw. He is the Redeemer of all people, and not just a worldly Redeemer, but a spiritual Redeemer who will save people for all eternity. That's the big idea right in the middle, and then it works out the implications. Well, if that's the case, shepherds, praise him. Us, praise him. This Messiah deserves the praise of all people, that we would join with the mountains and the hills, the angels and all creation to say, yes, Jesus, you are great. And to honor him, not just with our lives, with our lips, but with our lives, not holding back our wallets, our wills, giving him everything. The lowborn king deserves the highest praise. That's actually an idea that the song Joy Has Dawned gets at. Keith and Kristen Getty wrote this song. We sang it last week. Not with fanfares from above, not with scenes of glory, not earthly ones anyways, but a humble gift of love, Jesus born of Mary. That's the idea behind Les Anges dans nos campagnes. The low-born king deserves the highest praise. As we close, I want to point you to the rhyming version that I worked out. It would not work for you to try to sing the literal translation. That would be awkward. But I wanted to capture the themes of the original and make it work with the music that you know from Angels We Have Heard on High, so that we can actually sing it. So here it is. Let me just read it through for you so that you can see the words before I ask you to try to sing them. Angels in the countryside, singing heaven's highest song, and the mountains in reply, sing it back with voices strong. Glory in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Who deserves such glorious praise? What triumphant deed unites all the earth in with voices raised? Gloria in excelsis Deo. They announce the wondrous birth of the world's redeeming king, and with joyous, solemn gratitude, they join their voices now to sing, glory in excelsis Deo. Shepherds far from hearth and home, join the chorus of the skies. May your tender tunes unite with creation's joyous cries, singing Gloria in excelsis Deo. Let us go to Jesus' side. Let us worship and rejoice. Let us offer all our praise. Honor him with heart and voice. Glory in excelsis Deo. Let's pray. Jesus, we come now in the 21st century, and yet we put ourselves there as if we were there to hear the angels singing, to hear creation singing back, to point us to the fact that the Redeemer of the world, the one who forgives our sin, who gives us the hope of eternal life, who gives us purpose and joy within God's plan. You are here. Born of humble circumstances, yes. But destined to do the greatest things. We pray, Lord, that we would be moved to worship you in the highest. Not just with songs, but with our lives. We pray that our interactions with our families would shout out, glory to God in the highest. We pray that the way that we do our jobs would shout out, glory to God in the highest. We pray that the way that we deal with conflicts would say, God deserves the highest glory. Jesus, thank you for coming to be a lowborn king, to demonstrate that we don't have to be great to get into your kingdom. In fact, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to learn to be the servant of all. Jesus, we come with faith, knowing that as we put our faith in you, we become children of God. And as children of God, we offer our lives to praise you with all that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing these words together as we respond.